Hello out there to my crowns. This is Crown Riri and you're listening to the Crown Talk Podcast. On this podcast, I share my life experiences, my crown moments. That's when your heart and your crown aligns to motivate and inspire you to continue to wear your crown regardless how heavy it feels. Please visit crownwins.com, crownwins_com on Instagram and Crownwins Facebook group for positive affirmation quotes and daily reminders by me that you are crowned. As always, don't forget your crown and don't forget your crown. Enjoy the show. Hello out there to all my crowns. This is Crown Riri and this is the Crown Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for pressing play. I definitely appreciate it. If this is your first time listening to the Crown Talk Podcast, welcome. The Crown Talk Podcast is where I share my crown moments, words of inspiration, and today, a transparency moment. I'm going to do my best to be transparent. It's very uncomfortable for me, but it is what it is. It is a part of growth. Okay, so I'm going to call this episode the Arnold Palmer. That's like one of my favorite drinks. The Arnold Palmer is mixed with lemonade and iced tea, sweet or unsweet. The best place to get an Arnold Palmer, in my opinion, is a Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, so this is not a commercial. I'm not being endorsed by them, but I do have like the best Arnold Palmer. If you are a Arnold Palmer drinker like me, you are probably my best friend, more than likely. So I wanted to call this episode the Arnold Palmer because one of the artists that I admire when it comes to storytelling is Beyonce. When she put out Lemonade and put out the visuals, we were sitting at home trying to figure out what the heck is going on. But through her art, we got the gist of the story. We got everything that we needed or everything that she wanted to share with us. And that was that. And after the album was released, the visuals were released and she performed her songs, that was it. Like, she never spoke about her and Jay-Z, like on a interview platform, social media. Like, she speaks through her art. And being a part of the Virgo team, and I'm part of the Beehive, I just admire that. Kendrick Lamar does the same thing. Like, he just tells us what he wants us to know and leave it at that. And I know I'm not on their stature yet, but I'm learning how to tell my story and leave it at that. So I wanted to share with the crowns out there a phrase that I normally say when I speak about things in my life. I always say when my everything that was consistent became inconsistent and I thought I was losing my mind. But I wanted to dive deeper into exactly what happened during those times. So here we go, crown ones. All right. So I'm calling this the Arnold Palmer. I did write out a couple of things, so you probably will hear the pages turn. I wrote a lot, so we'll see how far this episode goes. I try not to hold you guys too long. Okay, now I'm just sidetracking. Here we go. So, 4 years ago, I decided to end an 11-year relationship. At the time, I was encouraged by many to be the ride or die woman. If you grew up during the 90s, hip hop, 90s and early 2000s, like being like a ride or die, excuse my French, a ride or die bitch was like the thing. Like, you were like there for your man, like no matter what, like you were just like holding him down. And even now that sometimes that is still pushed. So by loved ones and friends, I was encouraged to be that ride or die. By others, I was told to just do me. But at the time, I didn't know who me was. I had attached my whole identity outside of a few of my talents to this person that I was in a relationship in. And also the idea of the relationship at the time. I met this person when I was, oh my gosh, now I'm like 23. Yeah, I was 23. So my mindset of what relationship was at the time was like the perfect R&B song. That's like the best way that I can describe it. So yeah, I had attached myself to this person. Like I didn't even know who I was. And at the time, I was going for more with the ride or die, mindset. So, but I had a decision to make, because not making a decision, as my therapist told me, is making a decision. So yes, when you're not making a decision is being made, and not making a decision is not a healthy decision to make. Learned that from experience. While my, at the time, boyfriend was fighting for his freedom, I was fighting as well, but it felt like I was fighting harder than him at the time. I didn't realize that I was, because when you're fighting in a battle, there are many distractions, smoke, and mirrors. It was a lot going on, but I was just like so focused on fighting with him and for him. When everything cleared and I was looking around for my battle partner, only to find myself fighting alone for his freedom. He had somewhat given up, and I was still fighting. And when I mean giving up, I'm saying in the sense that he found ways to distract himself with other company, places, and things. Even being on a battleground by myself, I continued to fight. If you are a person who just tried to solve every problem, every situation, that's me. If you tell me that you have a problem, if you tell me that you're having a bad day, I will go out of my way to try to fix it. That's just the person I am. I continued to fight. I thought at the time of me fighting, I was flexing my strength and I was being the strong queen that I was expected to be. I didn't realize that I had become depressed, overeating, not sleeping. I wasn't happy. There was no joy, but again, I was really distracted on the battlefield. When you're fighting for anything, you're not worried about whether you have joy. You're fighting. That was just my mindset. I thought taking deep breath and ignoring the small voice that was saying, take care of me, was my way of being a strong queen. Again, when you're in the battle, you only see and hear what you need to fight. Everything else is a distraction. So I was ignoring myself. I was ignoring my body. I was ignoring my mental space. Between fighting and going to work, those were like my two things that I did for at least a year and a half within those 4 years. Before those 4 years, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was my thing. Like, just, what do you need? What do you want? I'm here and I have to go to work. Like, those were my phrases most of the time during this battle that I was fighting alone. Again, the whole mindset, just in fight mode. Well, when the smoke cleared and the battle was no longer a battle, and there was acceptance that the person who I attached myself to was going away for some time, I felt every emotion, every pain, every anger at once. During my moment of release, my mom asked me if I was okay. And I remember looking at her and saying, I am fine. And she said to me, oh, no, you are not. And everything in a big wave just came in tears. And I was like, I am not okay. I was crying at the time because my, at the time, boyfriend was going into the system. I was crying because I realized that I was going to be alone. I was crying because his daughter, now my little one, was not going to be with me. I was crying for many things. It was just a wave. I didn't realize that I had that many tears in me, because again, I was fighting the whole time. No emotions were ever released during that time except for anger. At that moment, I realized that I was my own company, but a part of me still wanted to fight. Ugh, such a fighter. So I became, for a brief time, the I'll hold you down woman. Yep, that was me. Sitting in the commissary, sending letters. I was like, I'm gonna hold you down. Like, I got this, I'm good. When the truth of the matter was, I was not good. And still I was ignoring every sign and telling me, like, you have to stop fighting. Like, this isn't healthy for you. But again, this was a brief moment of me being the hold you down. Because God kept showing me things and things and things and things. I'm sure at one point God was like, all right, sis, that's enough. It's time for you to do you. But again, I didn't know who I was outside of being a fighter and a few of my talents. Again, when I mentioned my talents, it was at the moment crocheting, which is something I do by myself. And I think I had started podcasting as a way for me to be with other people. But even then, I found myself by myself. So my talents were something that not define me, but something I could lean on. But it was moments of still me being by myself. So yeah. Now, during this moment or moments of me fighting, I was going through therapy. I was more so pouring out than receiving what my therapist was telling me to do. Again, I was in battle mode. I was fighting, ignoring what I thought was distractions. I was ignoring the voice that was saying, take care of me, which was my inner voice. I ignored her. I ignored my crown. That's what I did, now that I think about it. Yeah. After God kept revealing things about the shift that I was in, I started taking therapy way more seriously. I believe at one point, like I said before, God was like, hey, I can't show you no more. Like, this is proof. This is evidence that this person that you're with clearly has been doing other things. I didn't write this down, but I would never forget this. I remember I found out some things, and normally when I get upset or sad, I listen to Mary J. Blige. Like, that's like my godmother in my mind. And I went to go find one of the songs that I listen to every time I go through heartbreak with this one person. And when I was playing it, I didn't feel anything. Like, I was just like numb. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, how many times have you played this song and has been in this situation? Like, that's it. Like, no more. This song has ran its course. And at that moment, I knew for sure that, I needed to take care of me and take therapy more seriously. And I remember in a meeting with my therapist, I just vomited out the words, I'm exhausted, tired of fighting. He doesn't even know I'm fighting, probably never noticed. And my counselor asked me, who told you to fight? Did he ask you to? And I was like, no, you didn't have to ask me to. Like, I'm supposed to, like, hold him down. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do. And she said, by whose standards? And the room got quiet. And I was like, I don't know. By his standards? But that was even a question in my mind, because he wasn't even holding up to his own standards at the time. So I don't know why I was trying to hold up to his standards as well. Like, I was distracted again. I was battling. Yeah, trying to be the hold you down. But that, again, was for a brief moment. So yeah, God has shown me proof of everything. Everything. I, at the time, had assumptions of standards, but they were his standards. Truth of the matter is, I didn't have my own standards, thoughts, ideas of me and what I wanted. Again, I met him when I was 23, according to my general psychology teacher and also my therapist. A woman's mind isn't fully developed of what she wants until she's like 25, 26. So meeting him at 23, I was probably, like I said, in my own fantasy world of believing that my relationship would be like the perfect R&B song back in the 90s. So that was like my mindset again. I didn't have everything figured out when I met my, at the time, boyfriend. I just knew that, you know, he wanted me, I wanted him. we were going to be like together forever. That was my mindset back then. And I tried to hold on to that for many years. But like I said, after the smoke had cleared and God said, here, sis, one more time, I decided that, yeah, I was going to try to figure some things out about me. So sitting in my therapist's office, she asked me this question, and this is a question that I ask myself whenever I'm in whatever situation that I'm in and I can't figure out what to do. She said, if you had a daughter and she came to you with the exact issue you have, what would you tell her? I looked at the box of tissues because I was like, we're not going to pull that. And I took a deep breath and said, I would tell her to leave the battlefield. Me, myself, and I must have been waiting for those words to be spoken out loud, because I did grab the tissue. And I started crying, just thinking about standing outside of myself and just really looking in and realizing that all that I had been through during this fighting wasn't good for me or healthy for me. And again, if this was somebody coming to me, asking me what my opinion is or what they should do, I would tell them to leave. So why wouldn't I leave? That was that moment when I grabbed the tissue. So driving home from therapy, and I don't know if my clients have ever had a therapy session, but driving home after a therapy session, you have to sit in a moment of silence to like put everything into perspective. It's a lot. I sat on that. The next morning, I woke up. I put my feet to the floor, reached for my phone, and sent a message to my now ex-boyfriend. I texted him, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done fighting. I need to take care of me. And I sent it. And by the time that he got it, of course, he was in denial, but he was in a place where he could not tell me anything different. He couldn't manipulate me. He couldn't buy me flowers. He couldn't take me out to eat. He couldn't buy me anything. Like, he couldn't do those things that always used to change my mind before, when the thought came into my mind that I need to end this. And there was nothing he could do but to accept what I told him. And I really think that that was God's moment, God's face. Not him being incarcerated, but just him being at a distance from me. Like I said, to the fact where my mind was made up and there was nothing to change it, because I was tired, I was exhausted, and I needed to take care of me. I needed to tune into that voice that was speaking so loudly, but I couldn't hear because I was fighting. Yeah. So after I texted him at that moment, I did take a deep breath, but it was not for strength. It was for surrendering to myself, for myself. At that moment, I made a commitment to myself to know myself, unattached from anyone. So yes, 4 years ago, when I decided to end my ship, and I realized that I was to become single. I've been single ever since. Yeah. That choice, that decision was for me. And it was one of the hardest choices I had to make, to surrender. And accept again that I am important, I am worthy of fighting for myself. Again, I made a commitment to myself, for myself, unattached from anyone, to create boundaries for myself and to choose to love myself. Loving myself never really came into play until after I ended my ship. because I've always had the mindset of putting people first before me. Due to me being codependent at the time and still working through that, when you are a codependent person, everyone is put forth outside of yourself. And though sometimes that is, can be a good thing, but if you're doing it 99% of the time, it's not healthy whatsoever. So yeah, but after this moment, I had to think, what do I want to eat for breakfast? And it wasn't a wee thing, it was me. And making those decisions for myself. So yeah, that is my consistency and consistency. The Arnold Palmer in a cup with ice. yeah, that's what happened 4 years ago. I discovered my crown within me learning about myself and loving myself. And although it's still a relationship with myself now, I have my days where it's like, I'm not feeling good today. And still learning about myself, but I wanted to share that with the crowd was out there because not sharing it was bothering me. Not sharing or not being transparent was really just eating at my creativity and my ideas for the Crown Talk podcast. So I just needed to release it out in the open in the most way that I can, and that's through podcasting. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Of course, I will be sharing more. See, it's easier now. Of course, I will be sharing more about my journey within the 4 years up until now. If you have not heard, there is a episode called The Abandonment or The Drop-Off. The Drop-Off, I'm sorry. And that talks about just learning how to be patient within time and learning how to accept that when you're waiting on someone or when you're in a waiting room, you're not being abandoned. Things have to line up within its own time for you. So yeah, I feel like this episode, I'm probably going to end up going backwards. I might drop this episode first and go from there. But thank you so much for listening. I definitely do appreciate it. I'm going to try to do the Beyonce thing and just release this, promote it, and leave it at that. When I feel comfortable enough to speak more about the ending of my ship or what happened, I will. But yeah, this was a lot for me, I promise. So thank you again for pressing play. I appreciate it. Shout out to all my crown was out there. I love you guys. Thank you for your motivational words. I love when people ask, are you still podcasting? Yes, I am. Thank you. Please go to crownwas.com where you can listen to this. You can also listen to this on Spotify, Apple. If you're pressing play, then you're listening, of course. So thank you. And please share with other friends and family. Thank you again. Don't forget that you are crowned. And don't forget your crown. Thank you. Thank you once again for pressing play and listening to the Crown Talk podcast. I hope this episode and every episode inspired you to be a greater crown individual and not to take your crown moments for granted. This episode was produced by Mr. Al Pete. Please visit MrAlPete.com and MPNLLC.com to listen to Mr. Al Pete's podcast and other cool adults in the MPN neighborhood. Please visit and subscribe to CrownWas.com. Please follow CrownWas_COM on Instagram and CrownWas Facebook group to stay current on new episodes and new blog posts by me or other featured bloggers. Don't forget you are crowned, and don't forget your crown. Thank you.